topic I'm going to be speaking about is the Gemara Ksubis of Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph that starts at the bottom of Kuf Yud and deals with what's known as the Shalosh Ruos, which really has something to do with the Hashkafa towards modern day Eretz Yisrael. And I would just like to begin by stating that I think there's a general misconception and almost a fallacy that exists that we think in general that the difference between the Haredi camp and the Lu'umi or, you know, religious Zionist camp has to do with whether they believe in Medinat Yisrael, an independent state, or they don't believe in an independent state. Now, the truth is that that is not really the issue. Right? It's not the issue because L'maisa, in terms of a belief in an independent state of Eretz Yisrael, I think that most of the religious camp, be it Haredi or be it Lu'umi, basically agrees of the tremendous hashivas of the fact that there is an Eretz Yisrael and an independent Eretz Yisrael. And we will talk about very soon like what is indeed the difference between the two camps. It's very well known that there was dancing in the streets everywhere in 1948, including among the Haredi population when an independent state of Israel was declared. And I recall personally a conversation that was taking place in a shiva call that I once made in Bnei Brak for somebody, a tanshaft with us. And they were basically the group of Bnei Brak people. They had initially lived in northern Tel Aviv in 1948, which is true about most of the Rabbanim in Bnei Brak, including Rabbi Michael Feinstein and others, who moved from northern Tel Aviv, you know, to Bnei Brak. And they were recalling in the Shiva among, you know, the times of 1948 when the state was declared, and they were all commenting about, they remember the dancing, the singing, the tremendous joy, and nobody was even debating that point. I think it's well known that the flags flew on top of many of the famous yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, including of Bnei Brak. And I know personally, the first time I came to Eretz Yisrael was in the late 1970s, having come permanently in 1980. I remember very, very well that there were a lot of Hasidim who used to say Hallel with the Brach on Yom Yerushalayim. Not on Yom Ha'atzmaut, but on Yom Yerushalayim. As they felt that Yom Yerushalayim fit in much more, HaKol Tzorei Shelo Tov Aleihem, HaKishim Megolin Omrim Shir Al Golasa. But my sister, somehow Yom Yerushalayim has not developed into a day that even the secularists celebrate, you know, that much. And I think that practice, it went by the wayside. But I remember very, very clearly Gera Hasidim, other Hasidim, who said, Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim. Okay? We know that Menachem Kasher, the author of the encyclopedic work on Medrash Torah Shlema, like also was a prominent Gera Chassid, also wrote Kol HaTor in the Tkufa Agdola, which certainly portrays the existence of Medinat Yisrael in highly religious terms. He wasn't ostracized for it, and on the contrary, it was considered a work that was highly respected. So we have to understand, what is the conflict? At L'maisa, there are only a few hundred, maybe, I don't know exactly how many there are, families in Eretz Yisrael that are known as Neturei Karta, that they actually believe, from a Hashkafa perspective, that an independent state is something that is religiously on the negative side, and that we would be better off not having a state altogether, that we would be under Arab dominion, under Arab rule, that would be preferable to the present what exists today. And also in America, it's very well known that the Satmar community, you know, is actually against the existence of a state, as the Satmar Rebbe has written, Svarim on it, and in general, that was his belief, that we would be better off without an independent state of Israel. But that is not the position of the Haredi community at large. So what is the difference? I mean, we know that there's a difference, right? The way we celebrate Independence Day, etc., etc. So I think the difference is a simple one. The difference is that, let's face it, every religious Jew, whether he's more on the Tzioni side, on the Haredi side, obviously doesn't believe that the present state is what we have been hoping for and striving for the last 2,000 years. And everybody who is religious hopes or has aspirations that ultimately it will be a state that will be a religious state which will have religious meaning or religious significance for us. Right? The question is, in the interim, like, how do you react to what is a secular government and a secular state? So those that are religious Zionists or the American Saraf camp, so they basically believe that the way to do it is adarab, like to join in as many things as you can join, to participate in the army, to participate in general, with the secular camp, and in that way influence them in the hope that ultimately that the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael will lead to a state that everybody, that things will change in a positive direction. While the Haredi camp believes that that's not the case, that you have to isolate yourself, that you have to really maintain your own independent institutions, or else you're going to be influenced in a negative way, and the middle, that's the difference. But the Mice, if they felt that the state of Israel itself is a negative entity, so they wouldn't be part of the government or anything like that, but they feel still that they have to fight for what they have to fight for their institutions, but basically you can't participate because it just doesn't lend itself to participation without being at least having the tremendous threat of influence on your kids, influence on your environment, etc. That is really where the difference is between the Haredi camp and the religious Zionists of America's Araf camp, with the exception of the group we spoke about before, the small group in Eretz Yisrael and the larger group in America, who feel that there is something religiously negative about an independent state of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the Gemara begins in that Kuf Yud on the days. The Gemara says, Rab Zeira have a kemishtamit b'nei de Rab Yehuda. Rab Zeira used to stay away from his Rebbe, Rab Yehuda. The Boyle Meisak l'Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael. We would call today Aliyah. Okay? The Amar Rab Yehuda called the Olam the Bavel Eretz Yisrael over the Yaseh. Yehuda held that anybody who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is an overas an asay medivri neviim shenema bavelo yevo v'shamu yiu ad yom pakiyos amim Hashem. You shall remain in Bavel, and you shall come to Bavel and remain there until Hashem remembers you. Right? So Rab Zeira, if that's the case, so what did Rab Zeira feel when he felt what he thought that he should be going up to Eretz Yisrael, that he wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says a hubikli sharis ksiv, that the pasuk isn't talking about people going. The pasuk is talking, Yirmiyahu Navi is talking about the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, the kli sharis coming to Bavel and remaining there ad yom pakdiyosa. So Rabbi Yehuda knew that if you look at the pasuk, it clearly is talking about the kelim. It's not talking about people going up to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda ksiv krachin hishbati yatzchem benos Yerushalayim. Etc. So Rab Zeira, in other words, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that Hishbati as from Benos Yerushalayim into Irum to Oru Sa'ava Achetechba, that you shouldn't do anything to stir the relationship between Kaddish Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, to bring back the Achetechba until it's desired by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Gemara then says, Rab Zeira, who shall yali yisol b'chom? Rab Yehuda, shpati yasemksi. Rab Zeira, meboilet, Rab Yosef, Rab Chanina. The Omar Gimel Shvuas Halalulam. If you look at Shir Hashirim, that the pasuk of Ishbati yasem benos Yerushalayim, b'tzavos, b'yolos, asodim, t'irum, t'arez, t'savet, shatechbas, appears three times in Shir Hashirim. Twice towards the beginning of it, once towards the end of it, and twice it appears in exactly the same form. Shpati Yeshem Benos Yerushalayim into Iruv into Oru Asava Chetechbats. There's a third time that it changes the Lashon slightly, like towards the end. So the Gemara says, Kid Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Rav Zeira held up Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, the Amar Gimel Shvuas Halol Olam. What are these three Shvuas about? So one shvu is that Klal Yisrael should not go up to Eretz Yisrael. B'chomer Rashi says Yacha b'yot chazaka, that they can't take Eretz Yisrael by force. As once we're in Golus, there's a shvuah into the process of Golus that we are not to take Eretz Yisrael by force, that we have to bear our destiny in Golus. The Achas, Shehishbiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, Shelo Yemardu B'Masol. And another shvuah is that once Klal Yisrael is sent into Golus, they again have to be willing to bear the plight of Golus, and they're not to rebel against their host nations. The Achas, the third shvuah, I guess Chazal are referring to the third time when the lashon of the shvuah is changed somewhat. The Achas Shehishbiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Ha'Avdei Kechavim. The third shvuah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashbiya the Ha'Avdei Kechavim Shelo Yishtabdu Behen BeYisrael Yosef Etai. That they are not to be make Klal Yisrael overly subservient. That's the third shvuah. So two of the shvuahs on Klal Yisrael, one Shelo Yalu Rechoma, that they can't take Eretz Yisrael, on Mas B'yad Chazaka, by force. And the second shvuah is that they can't rebel against the Umas Ha'olam, and there's a shvuah on the Umas Ha'olam, Shabbati Yeshem, that they cannot, as long as they do not make Klal Yisrael overly subservient, Shabbat Yisrael, Yisrael, Yosef B'dai. So the position of the Satmar camp and the Neturah Karkin Eretz Yisrael is very obvious. That there's a shvuah in the process of history, Shelo Yalu V'choma, that we're not supposed to take Eretz Yisrael by force. And as the Pasuk says, into Iru, into Shelo Shabbati Yisrael, Benosher Shalayim B'tzvos, or Bayolos Asada, which the Gemara darshins, that if you're over the shvuah, you're going to be Hefker. Like the Ayolos, like the Ayolos Shebesoda, into Irum to Oru Esav. If you're going to do anything to arouse the relationship, the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires it. Those you cannot try to force the processes of history. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you into Golus, he has the desire to free you from Golus. If you try to interfere in that process, and you try to get Eretz Yisrael by force, to capture Eretz Yisrael by force, then on the contrary, it's a very, very dangerous thing. And as I'll tell us, that you can be Hefker, that Klal Yisrael can be made Hefker, Kayolos Hasoda, if you're going to arouse that love. So the position of the Tzuri part of the Satmar is very simple. So you have no right to interfere in that process of history, and that's what they feel has happened in the last years, in the last century, that there was attempts to get Eretz Yisrael by force, and there was no indication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, entering the process, and apparently they feel when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the Mashiach, that's Achetet. But until then, you cannot take action to try to bring it about unnaturally. So the Mela, they felt that this is, goes against the Shvuas, certainly against the Shvuas Shelo Yalu V'Choma, maybe in part also the Shvuas Shelo Yemardu B'Umos, the fact that Eretz Yisrael, there was an attempt to take Eretz Yisrael by force. Okay. And in a certain sense, the position seems to be a very, very strong one, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the Bnei Ephraim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Tzadik Beis on the Beis. The Gemara talks about who was the mason Shehechia Yecheskel. You know that Yecheskel brought certain mason back to life, so who were they? There's different opinions whether it was a muscle, whether it actually happened. One of the opinions in the Gemara is that who were the mason Shehechia Yecheskel? They were the Bnei Ephraim. The Bnei Ephraim, they tried to get Eretz Yisrael by force. They fought against the Pelishtim, and Lamaisa, they were all killed out. And the lashon of the Gemara is, "Umaniu Mason Shehechi Yecheskel Amarav Elu Bnei Ephraim Shemanu Lekates." They tried to figure out when the Golus of Mitzrayim is going to end. They're told, and they made a mistake, and therefore they went and they fought against the Pelishtim, and they were killed out. So those were the people that Yecheskel brought back to life. So here again seems to be very, very strong proof that if you make a wrong cheshbon, or if in general you try to interfere in the processes of history before HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, like, look at the consequences. The consequences were that they were all killed out. So this strengthens that position that it's very, very dangerous to try to get to capture Eretz Yisrael by force, and therefore the fact that it was done, the argument is made even to some degree that that may have led to the tragedies of the 1940s of the Holocaust. Like Chazal tell us that that you'll be hefker kayolos asode in te'iru and te'oru es ahava chetech. But it's interesting that the other side feels that, on the contrary, the fact that we had opportunities to go and we didn't go, that may have contributed. Okay, but it sounds like a very imposing and logical argument that certainly constitutes the pashtus of the Gemara. So how does one argue, you know, against that? So here there are quite a number of arguments that are presented, and we'll try to go through them one by one and then add a couple of nekudas. Okay. The first argument that I heard many, many years ago was the question, was raised by many. I had actually heard it from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik from Chicago, from Brisk in Chicago, that he once spoke about this topic, and what he said, the basic question that has to be raised is if the Shvuas are mutually exclusive or they're interdependent one on the other. There are three Shvuas. One Shvuah is Sheliyalu B'choma, like you're not going to take Eretz Yisrael by force on mats. Right? Like Rashi says, Yachad B'yod Chazok. The second shvu is shlo yamardu ba'uma sa'ola, and the third shvu is of a vachalit to stop the yisrael yosem edayit. The shvu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashbiya the uma sa'olam, that you're not going to make klai so overly subservient. So the question is, are these three independent shvuas, and whatever the uma sa'olam do, we're still bound to our shvuas? Or the argument can be made that it's a bilvat. In other words, that when do we not have a right to fight for Eretz Yisrael, or when do we have to, you know, tolerate Golus? That's only if Shlot Ishtab Dis Yisrael Yosem Edai. Once the Ummah Sa'olam break their Shvuah, so Mamela we are freed from our Shvuahs as well. And let's face it, like, the nature of Jewish history as such is, history of Golus is not a very, very happy history. Right, there was pogroms and persecutions and killings and expulsions, right, you know, in all areas of Europe and other places as well. But nevertheless, in any one particular area, Jews were able to live and even thrive for hundreds of years. Right? And in the middle, they're able to build up communities, they're able to build up Torah, not under the best of circumstances, financially trying circumstances, in every single way trying circumstances, living in ghettos, but Klal Yisrael thrived, and we know they built beautiful communities and flourishing communities, which we benefit from today, from the Rishonim, the leaders or the Torah leaders of these communities, even today, the PM under Chai. Okay? But nevertheless, if you look at the history, it seems like every 40, 50 years there was something tragic that took place, which was true. But there were different places. In any one place, Jews were able to thrive in France before they were expelled from it. They were able to thrive in Spain. That there's a golden era of Spain before they were expelled from it. So one can argue that it's not a very, very happy history, but one can still define it as Shalot Ishtabdus Yisrael Yosem Edai. The Holocaust, everybody has to admit, is a totally different phase in history. Like there, the attempt wasn't just to persecute Jews, the attempt was to destroy them. And second, what was Jewish communities, it wasn't just one Jewish community, it was all the Jewish communities that there was an attempt to destroy by Gauls. It wasn't just an episode in Gulf. And the Mela, like at that point, one can argue that that broke the Shavuos of the Ummah Sa'olah and Shalot Ishtabdus Yisrael Yosef Edai. And the Mela, as a result of that, like, we were freed from our Shavuah. And indeed, in the immediate aftermath of World War II, just a few years later, remarkably, like an independent state of Eretz Yisrael was founded, which according to this view was not a, did not actually go against the Shu's, looking at it from this perspective. The second argument is that we didn't rebel in 1948. In other words, the state was granted by a vote of the United Nations, and we were given, granted permission to return. And once there was this vote and we were granted permission to return and to split what was then Palestine at the time, like, the Arab nations went to war against us. So one can certainly see that as not an instance of Galu B'choma, that we went to take it by force. At that time there were 600 or so thousand Jews that already lived in Eretz Yisrael, but came there individually, which we see from the Gemara before, that was a machlokas Rav Zeira and Rav Yehuda, but apparently we paskin like Rav Zeira, that one is able to go on his own, and like the Tamidei Agro did and others did throughout history. So Mamela, they fought to protect themselves. They didn't go and actually, you know, take it by force. So that also really is a very, I think, very convincing argument that what happened was not actually a breach of the Shvuah or the Galu B'choma. Okay? It was also a defensive war, besides the fact that they didn't go from the outside. And Rav Chaim Zimmerman, in his book Torah and Reason, I believe it's called, like, even argues that, again, Shaliyalu B'choma is when you're fighting from the outside. Almost the same argument. He says that in 1948, it was already fought by people who already lived there. And that is not at all a breach of the Shul. Okay. Another argument that has been presented is that Chazal tell us that Hishbatiyas from Benos Yisrael to Iruv and Torah Sava Ad Shetechus. But there's at some point that there could be indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that at a stage when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Mashiach ben David. In other words, the indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires and wants us to go up Eretz Yisrael could be something that's due to an event that had transpired before that. So some argue that at the time of the Gro, we see so how much emphasis they place on going up Eretz Yisrael, that may have, apparently, they may have felt that there was an Atshe Techpat. But again, I don't think that's such a compelling argument, because they went as Yechid. So as Yechidim, everybody argues that we paskin that you're allowed to go. The Maisa Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so the Gemara, actually the two Gemaras, one in three Gemaras, the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara in Megillah, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Brachas and the Megillah talk about the order of Shemoneh Esrei. So the order, the Gemara says, so why does Chazal place Birchas Hashanim before Kibbutz Golios? Because of the pasuk in pasuk of Anfeichem Titenu, remember, I don't have the Gemara in front of me, I think it's a pasuk in Yecheskel, that Anfeichem Titenu Upiryachem Tiso Kikurova Lavo. So when the trees of Eretz Yisrael and the branches of Eretz Yisrael give forth their fruit, so Chazal say Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mezeh. So then that's a preparation for Kibbutz Golios. Once that happens, so the next stage is Kibbutz Golios, that's where you have Birchas Hashanim, and right away afterwards to Kav the Shofar Gadol Kerosim. But Chazal say Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mezeh. There's no clearer indication of the Gula coming than the fact that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the produce of Eretz Yisrael, begins to blossom and gives forth, which they didn't throughout all of history, most of history. And as Chaim B'Klalchem Sadeh Techarish is what happened at the time of Hurban. So when it starts blossoming, so that's a sign which Chazal say, Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mezeh. When I said there's a story of the Chafetz Chaim, I was looking for it. When I read this story, there was a particular friend of the Chafetz Chaim that was mentioned. Particular friend by name, right, who went from Radin, who went to Eretz Yisrael. Again, I don't have in front of me the name, but after a number of months of years, I don't know exactly what, he wrote a letter to the Chafetz Chaim. Right? So some people came in and they saw that the Chafetz Chaim was dancing, mamish, and tremendous, and for dancing around this table. So they asked him what happened. He says he received a letter from this Rab, you know, his good friend. And what he was describing was like his visit. He says that he's now, it was just now in Machne Yehuda. So it says in Machne Yehuda, he says that in Radin, Vosses Geven, Eifa, Foilte, Patata, that was the whole fruit. He says over here there are 15 different types of vegetables. So the Chafetz Chaim was dancing around and he said, ah, Eilach HaKeitz Megula Mizet. So one argument is made that once you see that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael are coming back and that Eretz Yisrael is producing fruits, so that's obviously not Shetechpos. Right? Now later we'll talk about why that's such a clear simon, right, of the Gula. Okay? So in the mail it could be that once there was such a sign, so therefore at that point, so that's an indication of Achet Tef, but so Mamela, that doesn't breach the Shalosh Shulah. Lemaisa, okay, obviously the question still remains to some degree of how can a irreligious secular state be a part of the process of redemption. So for that, there is a reason, I don't know if people are aware of it so much, there's a new sefer that came out a few years ago called Achris Kureishis. It was written by a nephew of Moshe Shmuel Sefira, and it has a scummer of Shmuel Arbach. And it's not sold publicly. He sells it from his house in the old city. His name is Shapira. And there, basically, what the Sefer is, the Maamarim of the Gra and the Ramchal, Pirkei Geula of the Gra and the Ramchal. In fact, the initial Sefer had no comments whatsoever. It just had brought down the Gra and the Ramchal. And in a more later version, like you try to speak about, like, you know, whatever the Gra and Ramchal, like what the implications are, and for us in the day-to-day life. Okay? So in any case, over there it talks about that there are three stages of Geula. Both the Ramchal and the Gra, what we would call on the same page concerning this, that there are three stages of Geula, and this was true about Geulas Mitzrayim, it was true about the Geula Bayesheni, and there's also a Stocha that the same thing will be true about the Geula Seed as well. And he talks about that the three stages of Geula are, first is Kida, Mitzrayim was Pakod Yifkod Esven, right, that was the simon of the Geula. Right. The next stage is Koshi Hashibut. Right after Peter's the toughest stage of the Golus. And the third stage is the actual Geula itself. And the Gra refers to it in those terms. The Ramchal refers to it in those terms. The Gra refers to it more as Mashiach ben Yosef versus Mashiach ben David. And Mashiach ben Yosef is a physical build-up of Eretz Yisrael. Right? And Mashiach ben David is the Geula, the spiritual build-up of Eretz Yisrael, spiritual leadership of Eretz Yisrael. But in any case, they both talk about those three stages of Kida, Koshi, Yashibut, and Geula. And in Mitzrayim, we know that the Kida was when the Yonchu ben Yisrael and Avoda, they were Mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Yeda Likim, and at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted to start bringing about the Geula. At that point, Moshe came on the scene, but he even left because it was so difficult. There was Tichbar Avod Alam, that was the Koshi Hashibut, and right after Moshe came back, very soon afterwards was the Makis, and then there was the Geula. And Bayesheni, when Alter Gemara and Megillah talks about that there were twice in Tanakh, we talk about the Golus of Shivin Son. And the Gemara says that they couldn't figure out exactly, all the Malachim tried to figure out exactly when the 70 years were over. So the Gemara says that they're really two separate, one is in the Navi Yirmiyahu, and one is in the Neil. So one is that talks about that when Los the Bavil Shivin Shana, and the other talks about after the Churban Yerushalayim, so then the Shivim Shana. So the Gemara says that when Los the Bavil is Pkida Ba'alma. So just remember, it again uses that term of Pkida Ba'alma, Pkida. When was that? That was during the time of Koresh. so encouraged, the first melech of Paras after the destruction of Malchus Bavel. So he gave a declaration that Klal Yisrael can go up to Eretz Yisrael. That was the Pkeda. Then there was the Koshi Ashibud of Haman that took place afterwards. And then ultimately, after the time of Chagai Zakaria, and ultimately by Ezra, so that was the time of the actual Gula and the actual building of the Beis Hamikdash. So we find that that same parallel existed by Bayi Sheni, and the Gra and the Ramchal talk about that's going to be the process for Asid Lovel as well. There's going to be Pekida, right? There's going to be Koshi Ashibut, and then ultimately, at least initial stage, and ultimately there's going to be Gula. Now the question is, what is the stage of Pekida? So again, one could say the Paris of Eretz Yisrael, an indication of Pekida, whatever we spoke about before. Okay? The mice, it's interesting, the very fact that we were given permission to go to Eretz Yisrael, either in 1917 or 1948, is a perfect parallel to the Koresh is having given permission. So there's a Pekida, there will be a Koshi Ashibut, of course there may have been already a Koshi Ashibut, and then there's a stage leading to the process of Gula. Now what's very interesting about this is as follows. The Gemara that we're talking about in Subis talks about that one of the Shavuos is Shalayalu B'chomo, that you're not allowed to take Eretz Yisrael by force. But the interesting thing is that apparently once there's a Pekida, not only is it no longer usher to take it by force, but you actually have an obligation to be Olu L'chom. And that's a Gemara in Yuma. With the Gemara in Yuma darshins a pasuk at the end of Shir HaShirim, the Alchus L'Mitana, the Shedayim Einla, that we have this fledgling sister who's not yet developed. So Chazal say, apparently that's talking about Bayi Sheni. So, Mayasa L'Chuseinu B'yom Shiyadubabam. What's going to be with our sister? So Gemara says, right, in Cholmai, is Nivna Le'atiras Kesef. Right? In Delisi is Nivna Le'atiras Eretz. So Chazal Darshan, if they will be Ola Kachoma, in other words, if they will go en masse to Eretz Yisrael, so then it'll be like Tiras Kesef, which Karashi says is not subject to recover. So in other words, then the second Beis Hamikdash will be strong and lasting, etc. But if not, if they go Kedelos, meaning people, some going in and some going out, so then it'll be like Tiras Erez, which ultimately decays and is subject to rot. So Gemara uses that same lashon, right? If they will go Kechoma, so then it'll be Ketiras. So apparently, like once you have an obligation to go, once is a Pekida, not only is it not usher, right, but actually you have an obligation. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects you to. And what's further interesting is that Badafka, the Sefer Akris Gracious, talks about that Lamais, we have to understand what the Pekida of Koresh was. Like Koresh gave Klal Yisrael permission to go, and, you know, Haggai, Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, the Zacharian, Mordechai apparently also went initially, then he went back. So they went and they built the foundations of the Beis Hamikdash. But very shortly he rescinded his permission. And Achashverosh also was Kasar Sitna, and the permission was over. No. So if him giving permission is a Pekida, and him rescinding, so the rescinding of the permission means that he rescinded the Pekida. So what was left? So what was special after that point? So here there's a very, very remarkable idea. And that's as follows. And that's the Gemara in Shabbos Kufman Hay. Gemara says, the Sanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nun Beisana lo Oper Ishri Yehuda. For 52 years, the Eretz was totally desolate. Shenemar, Alahorim Esu Bechi Benehim, Ofa Shemayim Va'ad Behemo Nadar Olachu. Versus Behemoth's Gematria Num Chavishim V'Tartanabi. So there was a 52-year period that not even animals went through, like Yehuda went through Eretz Yisrael. Totally, totally, totally desolate. Now, when were these 52 years? What 52 years was the Navi talking about? So Rashi says as follows. The second year, Nun Beishon. So Rashi says, Mishad Golu Bimeid Sitkiyahu B'chorvas Yerushalayim. from the time that they went into Galus in the time of Tzidkiyahu, Chavis Yerushalayim, Ad Shenifkidu B'mei Kodesh, until they were Nifkidu B'mei Kodesh, Va'oz Olu Mehem L'Yasid Es Abayis, so Yud Cheshanim Kodim Gemara Binyan. So then some went to be Miyasa device 18 years before the Gemara Binyan. Shoyel Sof Ayin Shana B'Shnash Shtayim L'Dayavesh Kedamirim B'Megillah, that the Pekeda was in the time of Koresh, the other Nebu was 70 years, was in the second year of Dayavesh, and that was actually the time that they were supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what we find is a very remarkable thing, that the Pekeda corresponded exactly to these 52 years, as from the time of the Churban until the time of Pekeda, those are the 52 years that the Eretz Yisrael was totally desolate. Once there was a Pekeda, even though he rescinded it, but it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already went into action, like to build up Eretz Yisrael, and then ultimately to bring about the Gula 18 years later. So whether he rescinded it or they didn't, it didn't matter anymore. Like apparently you see that once there was a moment of Pekeda, so from that point on, and Eretz Yisrael was being built up until finally it was ready for people to settle, and on the contrary, for a lot of people to settle. Maratinus, a lot of people didn't settle it. Right? But nevertheless, you see, it was totally irrespective. If he rescinded it, he didn't rescind it. Once the Pekeda part starts, there's a process that begins that apparently is not going to stop until the actual ruler comes about. And l'chayru, because of that, that's what the Gemara meant, that ein l'cha keitz megula mezeh, that once you see that Eretz Yisrael is giving its fruit, and as in Golus is chur, once Eretz Yisrael is giving its fruit, so that shows that it's part of the process, and the mail is ein l'cha keitz megula mezeh. So the mail are just getting back to our point that you have the position of the Sholish Ruas, if it's taken literally, it certainly seems like we can't take Eretz Yisrael by force. That, again, there's a raya from Dei Ephraim that apparently there could be very negative consequences of going against the Shuas, but apparently, at least in our time, the Shuas were not actually breached. You know, one can argue that they are not actually breached for the various reasons that were given. And one could actually say that whatever the moment of Pekeda is, whether it's when we were given permission in 1917 to go back in Eretz Yisrael, but it was also more or less rescinded, which is exactly the way it happened in the time of Koresh, or later on, or the very fact that the Paris of Eretz Yisrael will be able to produce that itself is a sign that Achitech puts. So one can very well argue that the present existence of Eretz Yisrael is not a breach of the Shavuos. And I think we can hope that the process we'll move on to the degree that we'll take it out of the Pekeda, out of the Koshi Shibut, to bring about Be'ezus Hashem, the Gula Sida Shibut.